When I was in the Philippines at Bible Baptist Church, San Fernando, I taught in our Bible school. And I told our students, if you're going to preach, no need to tell that you're nervous. So I'm not telling you right now. Because, you know, I know Pastor Crocker, and, you know, sometimes I use his messages online. I was asking him to put all the audio messages into PDF so that I could download it and use it. Thank you for the fellowship, and I know that you just eaten your breakfast, and so it would not be hard for us to stand up and open our Bibles in the book of Matthew. I've really been contemplating what message the Lord would want me to share with you this morning, and I studied a lot of messages, but the Lord just directed me to the book of Matthew chapter 20. It's a familiar passage of the scriptures, and we'll be studying verse number 1 down to verse number 16, and I think verse number 16 was quoted a while ago before the breakfast. Matthew chapter 20, let's read this responsively. I'll read verse number 1, yes. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went up early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard.
And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard.
He went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace.
And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they had their way.
And he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise.
And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle?
They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive.
So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first.
And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny.
But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny.
And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house,
saying, these last have brought about 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day.
But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Is not thou agreeing with me for a penny?
Take that kindness and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee.
Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good altogether?
So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we could be able to study your word. I pray that you'll give us understanding. I pray that you'll also give me the enablement and even the language to share your word to your men this morning. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Breaking down the walls, and one of the walls that we need to break is one word that has been repeated here in chapter 20, and the word is idleness. We need to break the wall of idleness. We need to break the wall of laziness and apathy. You see, I believe with all my heart that God is still using his men to do the ministry. And he's taking men from the local churches of the Lord to do the ministry. But we need to understand that we need to break the walls. The walls of idleness. So many churches there doing nothing at all. So sad. So from chapter 20, verses 1 to 16, let me entitle this message, the serviceman or the workman. Are you a workman?
Man.
You see, if you want to make your wife happy, You need to be a workman, or else you will be in trouble. You want to please God? You need to be a workman. Break down the wall of idols. You see, praise the Lord for the salvation that we have. We do not deserve to be saved, but by God's grace, He saved us. And one of the blessings that God gave us as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ is the opportunity to serve Him. It is indeed a blessing to serve the Savior who saved us. And right here in Matthew chapter 20, the Lord has given a parable that concerns workers, the servicemen. Let me give you three things as we break down the wall of idleness. Let me give you three simple things. Number one, we're going to see the Lord's call for laborers. The Lord's call for laborers. Let's go back to verse number one. There are three important words that we can see in verse number one. Three important words. Verse number one tells us, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder." That's the first important word. "Which went out early in the morning to hire laborers." Second important word. "And then into his vineyard." That's the third important word. Now I want you to notice the word householder. When I studied the word householder, it simply means the head of the family, the father, or the master of the house, or the landowner. And you have noticed here in parable that the householder had a vineyard, and he goes to the marketplace to hire workers. Now, the householder represents Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. And He is also our Lord. He is the Master. He is the owner of everything. And that will never change. Is Jesus Christ your Savior?
Amen.
Is He also your Lord?
Amen.
He must be your Master. And the word laborers represent Christian workers. Let me tell you, man, if you are saved, you ought to be serving God. You see, God did not save you. God did not save you just to inherit heaven. You see, the Lord, the reason why, you see, I believe that, praise the Lord, we will go to heaven. But going to heaven is not the reason why God saved us. It's one of the results of our salvation. But God had a plan for us, has a plan for us. He put us in this world because there is some work to be done. All of us should be serving. And the word vineyard, you know, I find it fascinating. When I study the word vineyard, this word represents the Christian's place of service. Christian's place of service. Let me give you a point here. Whoever you are, and whatever you are, God has a place for you in the ministry. So whatever God had planted, you need to bloom there and produce fruits that will glorify God. That's the reason why when I go to churches, I always encourage men and members and everybody that we need to take good care of our testimonies. We need men in our churches today who will stand against sin. There are so many workers of the Lord today, even pastors and missionaries today, who are out of the ministry because of sin. And you might say, you know, in the Philippines, you go to the Philippines, it's been a debate in the Philippines whether if a minister would commit adultery, can he still be in the ministry? Well, I believe that, you know, if I commit an adultery or immorality, God will always forgive me. And God will always restore me. But I believe that there is no more reinstatement. You see, it has been the stand of our church in the Philippines, and it will never change. That once you committed an immorality, you serve God in another area, if you are a pastor or a ministry. But my point is this, don't play games. Don't play sin. We need men who would be strong enough to fight against sin. Because you need to understand that God will only use clean vessels in the ministry. Mm-hmm. You can do the motion of serving the Lord, but if you are not living clean and righteously in the sight of God, your ministry will always be fruitless. Mm-hmm. lives of ministry. And we could see here that the householder hiring workers for the vineyard represents the Lord's call for workers. And when we talk about the Lord's call for workers, let me give you two things as sub points. Number one, the call of the Lord is a persistent call. It's a persistent call. Have you heard people saying that God's calling today is no longer as He used to do in the past? I don't believe that. I believe that God still persistently calling workers in the ministry today. The only problem is many men do not listen to the calling of God. You see, in the early times, workers would gather in the marketplace at the beginning of the day waiting for someone to hire them. And workers were hired and paid by the day, as we have read in our text. The master going to the marketplace several times during the day to hire workers. Can you see in verse number 1? In verse number 1, you see that he went out early in the morning. Early in the morning, this would be around 6 a.m. In verse number 3, we see him going back to the marketplace about the third hour, and that would be around 9 a.m. And then in verse number 5, we see him returning to the marketplace about the 6th and the 9th, that would be around noon and 3 p.m. And then finally, in verse number 6, where we see him going back to the marketplace about the 11th hour, which would be at 5 p.m. So what's the lesson here? The lesson is very clear. The master's repeated visit to the marketplace to hire workers indicates that the master had a large vineyard and he needed many workers. Let me tell you once again, or encourage you, brethren, to look on the fields. Because the field out there needs more workers. And we need men who would surrender. Because God is persistently calling workers even today. Persistently. This was the cry of, God, in the Old Testament to the prophets. This was the cry of the Lord Jesus Christ during his public ministry while he was in this earth. And still, the calling of God today. Thank God for the churches here in Singapore. Thank God for the brethren here in Singapore. You have been a tremendous partners in missions, especially when it comes to finances. Thank you for that. But you see, can I challenge you this morning? When would be the time when you will be sending more missionaries to mission? You have been sending your money. When would you send more missionaries in the mission? Would to God that there would be somebody coming from this church going to Bangladesh and join us in Bangladesh. There is a big, opportunity in Bangladesh. We're not hiding in Bangladesh. We're using missionary visas in Bangladesh. Would you consider? If God is calling you to be a missionary, would you consider coming to Bangladesh? See, send missionaries abroad. Thank God for you have missionaries here. You have pastor here. Let me ask you a question. When they're gone, men, young people, when they're gone, who will take their place? It must be you. No one is indispensable in the ministry. Your pastor might be called to go somewhere. Maybe he said, maybe in Dhaka. Welcome. Or go back to America. When he's gone, and this is a serious business. When he's gone, who will take his place? You visit many churches today, even in the Philippines, and they said in America, there is a scarcity of preachers in the world today. I don't know the situation here in Singapore. If the senior pastors here in Singapore would retire, who will take their place? You see, you have been taught. You have been encouraged. You have been visited by many pastors and missionaries. It's time to hear the calling of God. Or maybe God is not calling me.
maybe God is calling you, but you're not just listening. Because he is persistent in his call. You see, I have heard, I read, you know, a statistics that says that 80% of what is being accomplished inside the church is only accomplished by the 20% membership of the church. They call it the 80-20%. You see, how many percent do we need to be involved in the ministry? Because of the vastness of the vineyard, we need 100% participation to the ministry. It is a persistent call. Secondly, when we talk about the calling of God, it's not only a persistent call, but it is also a pressing call. It is an urgent call. You see, the issue is this, you know, the master had a large vineyard. The size matters, but not only the size, but the shortness to gather the harvest. Can you see the point here? The size is a bearing, and then an additional to that is also the shortness to gather the harvest. You know, I live in San Fernando, in the Philippines, and we are praying for this brother. And our city is just near, you know, a town where they have vineyard. When you go there in Bawang, Launion, you know, they have a promo today. Grapes all you can. And it's like you pay 300 pesos and you go to the vineyard and you can eat as much as you can. If you want to eat the vine and you know, the branches, you can eat those things throughout the day. You know, you just pay unlimited. Yeah, and then the farmers in that vineyard understand clearly that when it's time to harvest the grapes, they need to harvest the grapes. Otherwise, you know, the harvest will be destroyed. You see, the reason the master sought many workers and kept coming back for workers was not only the size, but the short time to gather the harvest. And men, let me challenge you, don't be idle. Because we do not have all the time to serve the Lord. While there is an opportunity, grab that opportunity and do something for God. Be a working man. Be a working man. Do you know the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 9, verse number 4? He said, I must work. Can you see how heavy the Lord, you know, the works of the Lord Jesus Christ said? You see, the Son of God, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You see, God's time is ticking off. I'm privileged to share with you the Word of God this morning. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity to praise without thinking of any harassment, without being afraid of anything that might happen, without being afraid that someone of you just brought a bomb and detonated while I'm preaching. I'm not afraid of that. But you see, the Bible tells us there would come a day when those people would think they would harm you and they're doing good to God. You see, he will say, Brother Jim, you're just an alarmist. No, I'm not an alarmist. I'm just telling you the truth that, you know, that the world is being squeezed and we are now living in a days where it's very getting difficult to serve God. And so my point is very, very simple. You know, you see, we need to seize the opportunity and serve God. That's why God is calling, you see, persistently and pressingly, because we do not have always the opportunity to serve God. We are using missionary visas, but we do not know any time Bangladesh would scratch missionary visa. In fact, there is a political wing in Bangladesh who is fighting the present government, and they have 13 agenda, and one of them is to close the country from any missionary work. And that means they're going to scratch the missionary visa. But you see, God's calling is, you know, God's calling is persistent. He is pressing because of the size and the short time to gather the harvest while there is an opportunity. We need to dismantle the walls of idleness and do something for that. My point number two is this. We have seen the Lord's calling for workers. We're going to see, secondly, the Lord's compensation for workers. Just his calling and then the compensation. You see, the parable that we have read, we read about the wages, the salary that were paid to the workers. You see, the master paying the workers talks about the Lord's compensation for his workers. You see, there is a song writer by the name of Frank Houston, and he said, "It pays to serve Jesus, it pays every day, though the pathway to glory may sometimes be drear, frightening or dangerous, you'll be happy. It's step of the way." Amen? Because it does, and it pays to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Last night, I shared with you my testimony. Now, when I went to my grandfather and told my grandfather that God is calling me to be a missionary, those were not here last night. When I went to my grandfather and told him that I'll be heading to Bible school for training, and I will just repeat it. And he came to know that I'll be a pastor or I'll be a preacher. And he said, "June," he said, "it's better for you to pastor chickens and ducks than to pastor people." I was a bit hurt from my grandfather. For my grandfather, I was just good for the ducks. But I went to San Fernando and entered the Bible school. And then I became pastor. Then 2 years, 3 years passed. I went back to our province and visited again my grandfather. And he saw me. He saw how God changed me. And he said, "June, it seems like it's better to pastor people than that." You see, when you surrender, when you young people, you listen to me. I was 17 years old and then 20 years old and in Bible 17 when I got saved, and then 20 when I was in Bible school. Listen to me. God can change your life and God can bless you. And if you will just entrust your life, you know, to the Lord and just put your faith upon the Lord, God's going to change you. God is going to use you, and God is going to compensate you. He will. And you will never regret entering in the ministry. Never. Because the Bible tells us the calling of the Lord is without repentance. Amen. You will never repent. And I have heard many people got, you know, that God called, but they did not listen, and they repented at the end. You see, God will always compensate. Let me give you two sub-points. We're going to see the rewards of service. The rewards of service. You see, in the parable that we see, we see here that each worker hard was paid how much? A penny a day. And I was intrigued with the word penny, and I studied the word penny, and the word penny speaks of a denarius, which was a Roman silver coin. 1 penny is equivalent to a day's salary of a regular worker. What is the point? You see, as the master rewarded each of the hard worker in the parable, the Lord will also reward you if you serve him faithfully. Let me tell you this. The most rewarding work in the whole wide world is the work of God in the world. Sure. Sure. You see, I have heard people, you know, we praise the Lord for the professionals. But I have heard, you know, a Filipino. I'll talk to the Filipinos. Otherwise, I will offend the Singaporeans. I heard many people say, "Oh, he was a doctor, he was a lawyer, but he left his doctorate and then he entered into the ministry." He meant to say that the ministry is a lower class. I believe that the highest calling is to be a pastor or a missionary. Mm-hmm. That's highest calling. We praise the Lord for all those professionals. But you cannot equate the work of God to be a less fortunate opportunity. No. No. You see, the greatest work in the world is still in the ministry of God. God will always compensate you. God will always. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays to serve Him. And there are so many blessings that God is going to give you. Is that to say that some act like it is a burden to serve God? It's not a burden to serve God. It's a blessing to serve God. Serving God is not a dreary, boring work. It is the most delightful, joyful work in entire the world. It doesn't matter if you are in a dangerous mission field. It doesn't matter. When there was a crisis in Bangladesh, there was killing in Bangladesh, and they were killing missionaries in Bangladesh, I received two emails from an American friend, an American supporter. Two emails. And said, "Brother Joe, why don't you change field?" And said, "If you're going to change field, we will always understand." And I kept asking myself, to change field? How could I change field? Tell me how to change field. You see, it's rewarding. I find joy serving the Lord in Bangladesh. There's always joy. You see, it's a delightful work to be in the Lord. God will give us, His compensation. Do you remember when the Lord allowed John, the Patmos king, saw the end of the ages? And he said in Revelation 22, verse 12, if you could open there. Do you see? Can you still remember the works of the Lord Jesus Christ to John in Revelation 22, verse number 12? And he said, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." You will be compensated. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Right. Amen? You will be rewarded. The reward for service. Secondly, we're going to see the reasons for service. Praise the Lord for the rewards, but you see, we need to understand about the reason of service. You see, the main lesson of the parable surrounds the amount that was paid to the workers for the time they worked. Now let's go back to the workers. Some were hired at 6 a.m., some at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and then some at 5 p.m. The interesting thing is that they all, regardless of when they were hired, they were paid a penny. That's significant. That's something. Those who put in 12 hours working receive a penny. And those who put in 1 hour, they also receive one penny. And you may say, "Oh, the master was just unfair. The master was just unjust." Humanly speaking, in our text, in fact, those who were hired earlier, they complained with the master about what they were paid. I remember Filipino workers in the Philippines, sometimes they complain. Church workers, "I've been a church worker for 12 years and this person is only a church worker for 2 years and we are receiving the same amount of love gift." Complain. But look with me closely at the parable and you will see that the Lord is teaching us a very important lesson about service. And the key is found in verse number 2. And when he had, are you there in verse number 2? And when he had, what is the word?
Agreed.
You see, the word agreed means that the master, he had a contract with them. Sa Tagalog, mayroon silang kontrata. Yung mga unang nagtrabaho, mayroon silang kontrata. That's speaking in tongues. The workers hired earlier settled on 1 penny a day. That was their contract. But you'll notice in verse number 4 that those who were hired at 9 a.m., no such contract was given. But we read the master told them, he said, go ye also into the vineyard, and he said, whatsoever is right. Whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. We see in verse number 5, verse number 7, that he did the same with those he hired. You see, the first crew worked with the contract. What they agreed to. In other words, they worked for what they would get. The other team worked with a promise that they get what they deserve. What I can see here is this. We praise the Lord for the rewards, the compensation. We praise the Lord for those blessings. But you see, it's very, very important that we need to serve God with a right purpose. You see, our motive in serving the Lord should never be for what we will get out of it. Well, of course, God will bless you. Yeah, and He's blessing you. But you see, you need to have the right purpose. Sad to say that some people serve to be seen. Others serve for the recognition and the attention it brings them. That should not be. So what would be our motive, purpose in serving God? Yeah, now notice with me, the 6A workers got a contract. The others got a job. What's the difference? When the other bats got a job, I believe that they were grateful they found a work. In our case, we should serve the Lord because we are grateful for what the Lord has done to our lives. Are you glad that you're saved?
Amen.
And you're on your way to heaven? Mm-hmm. We cannot pay back. We cannot pay back. God has blessed us so much. At least we can be grateful to God for all the blessings that He did to our lives and doing to our lives. And because of that gratefulness, if you're really grateful, you need to serve your Savior with a grateful heart. With a grateful heart. Do you remember what Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14, remember the statement of Apostle Paul said that he said that the love of God constraineth us. Do you really love the Lord? Don't be idle. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Apostle Paul said, it is high time to wake up. Amen. Wake up. What time is it? Wake up. Get up. Dress up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you are grateful and you love Him. You love Him. You see, when you are grateful,